Welcome to the Career Coach Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. L.A. Matthews, and I'm a career strategist, professional resume writer, and certified interview and strength finders coach. We are getting America back to work and helping job seekers, career professionals, and entrepreneurs reach their full career potential, either in the private sector, government, or through entrepreneurship. If you're ready to advance your career, you can learn more at www.careercoachradio.com or by visiting us at topchoiceresumes.com. On this episode, Reset Your Career and Recognize Your Calling, you'll hear an exclusive interview with Bishop Joseph Warren Walker III, and he's a pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church of Nashville, Tennessee. He's going to share with us how to make a new start in our careers by resetting our lives. Do you hear that? Resetting our lives. Let me just tell you a little bit more about him. He received a Bachelor of Arts degree from Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a Master of Divinity degree from Vanderbilt University, and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Princeton Theological Seminary. And he is the lead pastor of Mount Zion Church with over 30,000 members. So this is truly a man who has a message for you. And I can't wait for you to really just dig in, listen to this feedback. And today we are going to use the hashtags #ResetYourLife and #CareerCoachRadio. Again, the hashtags for this episode, #ResetYourLife and #CareerCoachRadio. Please connect with us online at Top Choice Resume and also at LA_Matthews. If you look underneath this recording on the website, click on this PDF, the worksheet, to take notes to follow along because he has so many golden nuggets that you don't want to miss. So get ready. You're going to love this episode, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you online.
Welcome to the show, Bishop Walker.
Well, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wow, what an impressive bio you have.
You're very kind.
Yes. So I really want to talk about your awesome book. I read it, Reset Your Life and Make a New Start. And especially as it relates to careers and people really trying to identify what career best fits them and their purpose. So could you tell me what really inspired you to write this book?
Well, thank you. Well, you know, I was inspired to write the book because there were so many people I saw just wandering, trying to find purpose, trying to understand specifically what space they were supposed to exist in. And oftentimes, a lot of folks living through the dreams of other people, going down paths to appease others and not really having a sense of passion and fulfillment. And I just felt that it was important to let people know that it's really okay to recalibrate, reset your life, and go down a path that is more fulfilling into your assignment. And so regardless of the various vocation you might find yourself in, it's incredibly important to know that if there's no passion, there is no purpose, then you have to make certain that you look critically at where you are in your life and have strategies that can help you go down the path that is more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, you ask the readers about stumbling blocks in their lives, and you identified some major questions that people ask you a lot. And so these questions are, did I choose the right major? Should I stay in this job? Is it too late for me to change careers? And then one of the questions you probably hear more than any other, when will it be my time and what is my purpose here on earth? Can you talk about those questions?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody, you know, wrestles with that. I think the best way to look at it is to understand that, you know, I always say that there is an end game here. It's called destiny, and that's the destination. And purpose is the path toward destiny. And if you never are in the purpose, then you will never reach the destination. So you look at it like there is a predestined purpose all of us have that was preset before we got here. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1, before I formed you, I knew you. I ordain you, call you to be a prophet. So God was at work prior to you getting here. You were born to solve a problem in the earth. And that's what purpose is. Purpose solves that problem. When you look at a problem in the earth today, it's because somebody's not walking fully in their purpose. Somebody should be solving that problem, right? So what happens is that once I have this incredible passion that pushes me toward purpose, what happens then I start making preparations. for that purpose. And through that process, which is a process, it is didactic, it is you know, pedagogical, it's a matriculation process. You go through it, and it teaches you things about people around you, about yourself, etc. And you're going to experience these stumbling blocks, because that's where the process and preparation is. You're going to be preparing for this great thing you're trying to do. So if you're in a major and you're like, wow, I'm a sophomore, this isn't it. Okay, so I regroup and I start going down another path. Well, you're going to have these stumbling blocks that are going to test your sincerity. They're going to test your resilience to see how bad you want it. And so these things are all a part. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So the stumbling blocks or the setbacks are all there to test your resilience, to see, will you just fold and say, you know what, forget it. I'll just go back and resign to the fact that I'm going to live my life out in this unfulfilled way, or am I going to push past this setback, this pain, and continue to push? Paul says, I press toward the prize, the mark of the high calling. I'm going to press toward this thing that I know that I'm on earth to solve. So if you're able to do that, mm-hmm. the incredible thing that happens in that is that you build fortitude. You know, you build a sense of, you know, stamina. And so now you can be entrusted with the thing that you are called to do. And the different levels that you are on, the trajectory you're on demands that level of preparation. And so often people see people who are navigating at a very high altitude in their careers. But if you were to talk to all of them, they would tell you, if it were not for this setbacks, this stumbling block, this test, I would not be able to handle where I am. So if you cannot deal with the strain and stress in the mailroom, you certainly cannot handle it in the boardroom.
Wow. That's a tweet right there. Hashtag reset your life. If you can't deal with the stress in the mailroom, you are not ready for the boardroom. That is so true, because people, they give up easily oftentimes if they face some challenges. So you're saying just keep pushing, keep going, and that's how you know you're truly walking in your purpose. But how do you know what your purpose is?
Well,
how do I know what I'm supposed to be when I grow up?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's incredibly important to know that, again, it's predestined, and you are born into this thing called life, and you have passions, and those passions, you know, must be bridled. They can't be unbridled. They must be focused. Light is a powerful thing, but if light is focused, it becomes a laser and can cut steel. So you have to have laser-sharp focus on specifically what is it that I feel passionate about. There is a single thread that runs between all the things that you're passionate about. You may say, I want to help people. I want to start a daycare. I want to do a nonprofit. What's the singular thread that runs through all of that? It's probably helping people, all right? It's probably something in that right. So now that you understand that, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it liberally, right? So now you ask God to reveal to you specifically what that purpose is, apart from the influences that you have around you. We are products of our context, and often we are inspired by other stories, and rightfully so. But what happens, I majored in English, going to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer because I was incredibly impacted by my brother, my sisters, who were lawyers. So why wouldn't I want to be a lawyer? It's like the family thing to do. But God had another plan for me. So when God called me, he called me out of it. How do you know what it is? Every fiber of your being will resist it initially. That's how you know. Every fiber of your existence will say, oh, no, 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 no. That's how you know, because that's the call. It's always calling you to something bigger than yourself. But when you walk into it, there is peace. Once you say yes, there is peace. And that peace cannot be explained. That is an amazing place to be. And when you're in purpose, you never work another day of your life. You go to purpose and not to a job.
You never work another day in your life when you're working in your purpose. When you're in your purpose, it's just natural. Is that what you're saying?
I go to purpose, not to work.
Mm-hmm. I go to purpose, not to work. I really like that. You talk about the choices now, like the reset part, and recognizing the call. And I love this question that you ask. You say, am I willing to lose things I might regard as precious in order to gain even more? And I'm going to ask that question again. Am I willing to lose things I might regard as precious in order to gain even more? Because people are thinking, oh, I have this job. I go to work every day. It's a steady check. I'm comfortable. I don't want to step out. I'm afraid. How do I start that business? How do I go and start walking in the purpose that God has called me to?
It is a very, very pivotal moment in all of our lives. And I think that the important piece, and I received this from, when I took my phone in to get it serviced, and they said, look, a hard reset is going to require you to have to lose some things, right? So I'm like, whoa, okay. But your phone is going to be more efficient once you do that. And we build up certain, relationships, or we build up certain, things in our, vitaes and resumes, et cetera, that are sacred to us, important to us, and certain relationships and people, et cetera, right? And so now you are, reassessing your life about, okay, if God is sending me on this path, or this is where I'm supposed to go, there's certain things I can't take with me, right? And so you've got to decide, are you going to cling to the past or spring to the future? And you cannot spring and cling at the same time. So the point of letting go is being willing to say, just because I let go of something doesn't mean that it did not serve a significant purpose in my life. Here it is. The space shuttle, when it was operative, as you know, had two rocket boosters. And those rocket boosters served a purpose. Those rocket boosters would get the space shuttle to a certain altitude, and then they would fall off. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean anything was wrong with the rocket boosters or anything with the space shuttle. It just meant that those rocket boosters were not designed to fly in the shuttle's orbit. And the rocket boosters did not fall off. It could put in jeopardy the shuttle's ability to reach its destination. So there are things that you have to lose. They serve their purpose. They got you to a certain level. They were significant. But you have to know that those things that fall off, if they were authentic, they were real, genuine, they will celebrate you even if your success does not involve them.
Wow. That's powerful. They will still, if they were genuine, they would still celebrate you, even
Absolutely.
Even if you have to keep walking forward or leaving
Absolutely.
Them behind.
Absolutely.
And then you talk about the mind frame of a reset. You have to have a certain type of mind frame in order to get prepared for God to reset you. And you mentioned that people won't understand it. Not everyone will understand what you're going
right.
through.
Right.
And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're making some very, significant decisions, some that are counterculture, some that are going against the dreams and ideas of family members who thought that this would be a great idea for you to do, and now you're doing something that you feel very passionate about. It's a place of isolation. It's a place of loneliness because it is incredibly courageous, however, to be able to do something that you know you've been put on the planet to do, even if you don't have the applause and support of people who are very important to you. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It just means they're just bewildered because many people will not understand. How could they? How could they understand, someone who, went to school to major in this thing and now says, you know what, I want to start this business that's not even related to the thing I went to school for, I mean, how could they understand that? But you have to have the resilience. Again, that's why you went through the test, went through the things you went through, to be able to press through that and know and believe in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. I mean, imagine how many people, to turn Oprah down. And, Oprah believed in herself, and the rest is history. I mean, you have to get to a place where you don't, I always say, and I write an editorial here in Tennessee and do a lot of op-eds around the country. One of the things I pride myself on is not reading the comments. Because
wow.
If you read the
yeah.
comments, yeah, you get stuck in the comments section.
Mm-hmm.
You'll forget the real purpose about what you've done. And so don't live life reading the comments.
Don't live life reading the comments. That is so true. You'll be you'll start thinking, oh, I need to change this, and worried about what people are saying about you.
Yeah.
I like that. Don't
yeah.
live life
yeah.
reading the comments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you said that there are some symptoms of people who are not working in a purpose or living in a purpose. And you mentioned that there's a sense of emptiness, lack of direction,
yeah,
lack of control, frustration, and fear, and just that meaning isn't there. So what would you say, just pretend you're talking to someone who comes to you and they are miserable in their job and they know it's not what they are placed on earth to do, how would you get them out of that feeling of emptiness in their lives? What would you tell them?
Well, you know, sort of remind them that there is that very clear. The emptiness is an indicator in your car. Whenever a light comes on, it's saying something's wrong. And the fact that you feel empty, you feel this way, doesn't mean that it's always a bad thing. It's just an indicator. And now you got a choice: take the car to the shop, or just keep driving until the car breaks down. Well, you take the car to the shop and you get an assessment, get it fixed, and now that you're empty, you're dealing with this stuff, now you got to be willing to say, okay, what do I need to do to make certain I don't arrive at this place again? Start planning. You have to plan. Now, I get it. You got to eat, too. So you can't – see, I think sometimes we make these emotional knee-jerk decisions, and those decisions look like this. I'm unhappy with this job. You know, this is not what I'm supposed to be. So I'm just going to quit, and God's going to give me this great plan. Well, then you're, like, on this, you know – government check situation for, like, you know, 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just not what
right.
you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to keep doing what you're doing on that job, learning what you can learn, gleaning what you can glean, and chew the meat, spit out the bone, right? It may be miserable, but you got to do it because you got to eat. But mm-hmm. you got to work over and beyond now. You got to be up. Rather than go to happy hour after work, you need to be up in Starbucks or somewhere grinding, trying to get your plan together. You got to be meeting people that are strategically planning late in the midnight hour, burn the oil, saying, you know what, I'm working on something, and stacking your cheese and working on something, and stacking your cheese and working on something, so that when your plan emerges into that purpose, you're able to walk away comfortably, and it will be an easy transition. So that's why you have to, the Bible says, if any of you plan to build a tower, let him first count the cost. Count the cost. Don't just sever the relationship because you're frustrated. That's an emotional decision. But you got to plan strategically and say, this emptiness is not going to go overnight. I've got to plan, know what it is I'm supposed to do, and find the right people who can help me achieve that goal.
Wow. That's a great answer. So can we be honest here and just transparent? Sometimes people may not be working in a career that is aligned with their purpose, right? But then other times, maybe it's something within ourselves that we have to check and say, okay, maybe it's my attitude, or maybe
yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
ungrateful for this position. How do you know the difference between whether or not your job isn't meant for you or your attitude is just all wrong?
Yeah, that's very important. You know, I say it all the time, when people disconnect from you, it's oftentimes not you, it's the environment that you create around you. They don't want to be around your environment. And so you have to ask yourself, have you actually been able to, you know, reconcile past pains and emotions so that you don't bring the residue into new situations, you know? And it's difficult to be honest about that, but I think you have to look at, you know, kind of take the body of work, the last 3 or 4 jobs you were on, the last 5 or 6 relationships, and ask yourself, are there any similarities in what people are saying about me? People are saying that I'm hard to get along with or whatever, and people who are honest will say that. If that is the case, then, yeah, you have to look at yourself, because it doesn't matter where you go. You bring a certain toxicity to that place, and until you detox, you know, your attitude and all that. And that's hard, I'll be honest with you, it takes a great deal of transparency and authenticity to do that. Some people would never do that. They're just like, the whole world against me. And that's unfortunate, and those folks never succeed. It's when you can critically reassess, and I talk about that in the book, reassess your life. Look at you and say, what is it in me that I need to change first? And you'd be amazed that by making small changes, building relationships, being more relational, more friendly, more patient, kind, et cetera, how you can change an entire environment. And now you look at that situation more clearly. You have nothing to lose in that, right? Because if you do change your behavior and all those things and make intentional efforts on being a better person and the job still sucks, then that probably says that's not it. But
exactly.
If you do it and realize, wow, these are some amazing people, and maybe I didn't give this a chance, I was frustrated because of the people and not the place, then you might find out, wait, you know, it was me. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you knew you wanted to be a lawyer, and then you were called into the ministry. So who encouraged you to chase after that dream? I know your siblings were lawyers and people were surprised that you started this ministry with 175 members, and now over 30,000 members are part of your church. So who encouraged you to chase after that dream?
Well, you know, I think it, my grandmother, actually, you know, she said, you know, I was still trying to be a lawyer, and I knew God had called me to preach, and I knew Vanderbilt had a joint program, right, and I could go to law school and divinity school. I was going to do both. I thought, you know what, maybe I can just do both. And my grandmother said to me, you can't tell the truth and lie at the same time.
Actually.
And she meant that jokingly, but I know she really was saying, look, you know, you can't be unstable. You got to be clear about what you're going to do here. And God's called you. Just walk into it and trust him. It's an issue of trust. At the end of the day, when you step out of the boat, walk on the water, it's an issue of trust. Do you trust him? And nobody can work that out but you.
Well, you have to fully trust him. And like you mentioned, the plan that he has for your life, because he already
Absolutely.
Knows what that is.
Absolutely.
So you hit on another sensitive topic that really affects people. When they start working in that job that is aligned with their purpose and they're confident and they know they made the right choice and they trusted God to make that change, you say that people they'll see you with your head up and your shoulders are back and they'll call you stuck up and they'll say, you think you're all that? And then you say, well, I am all that. I know what God says I am. Why do you want me walking around looking depressed and pitiful and broken? So what do you have to say about that? When people start noticing that you have a different walk, you are, the blessings are flowing because you're aligned with what God has called you to do. What do you say to those people, or do you even acknowledge them?
I oftentimes don't even acknowledge it. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I think, you know, I think we chart our own, you know, own path. You know, I just think that you have to just kind of let people walk certain things out themselves. That may be a cop-out answer, but I just, you know.
Like you say, you don't read the comments, right?
There you go.
Okay. So you also talked a lot about the past and how God's plan does not depend on your past. And we, as people, sometimes we think so much about the past, or I can't do this because I had this issue or these financial problems, or I saw my mom and dad go through this and I was hurt as a child or bullied, whatever it is. And you say it doesn't matter what happened 10 years ago or 6 months ago or even 24 hours ago. So what advice do you have for people who just can't seem to get over what happened to them before?
Well, yeah, I think, again, it's being histrionic. You know, you can't, you know, you have to understand that if you continue to allow what happened to you to control your life, then the people who did it to you will forever puppet your emotions. They have moved on, not thinking mm-hmm. about you, and you are caught up in the muck and the mire of what happened. And so I think that it's huge. It's incredibly important that you truly, truly, truly understand that you've got this amazing story in front of you, and you've got the history behind you. And when you're driving forward, always remember that your windshield is always larger than your rearview mirror. Mm-hmm. One is for gazing and one is for glancing.
Wow. So you inspire so many people, averaging 2,000 souls a year that you're saving. Who inspires you?
Oh, man, so many people who've inspired me. You know, obviously, you know, I'm inspired by Dr. King, Du Bois. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm inspired by my pastor, Harry Blake, in Shreveport, Louisiana, Paul Morton in Atlanta, New Orleans, you know, inspired by so many, even Harriet Tubman. I'm inspired in changing the minds of people, you know. You know, she could have freed more slaves had they known they were free, you know. I mean, just getting people right. out of a crazy place. I mean, it's a multitude of people. That's the beauty of our community. We have so many diverse and amazing people that, you know, it just kind of helps motivate you every single day to push forward and know that things are possible.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about balance. You've written, what, 9 books. You're a pastor. You travel, a speaker, a husband, a father, a philanthropist. I mean, just so many different things. And we have people who are trying to balance their careers and being parents and spouses and also working with nonprofit organizations. What advice do you have to give to people who are trying to balance it all?
Yeah, well, you have to be intentional. Intentionality is the first thing. You have to, you know, prioritize life. You have to not let the little stuff consume you. I always work with a to-do list and not let people put their do on my list.
I like that.
Yeah, I control my own destiny when it comes to that, and time is money. Money is time, and you have to be very intentional about carving out space and time for your family, and those become sacred, and if you don't honor those, people will not, so I constantly honor those, and as a result of honoring that, people have learned, wow, that's what he's doing, so hey, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have really enjoyed talking to you. Do you have any last-minute words you would like to give the listeners about their careers?
Well,
thank
you for having me. I really appreciate it, and I think that it's incredibly important to know that, you know, there's these amazing things inside of all of us, dreams and visions and passions and things that keep us up all night, and you're not crazy for having a vision. Always remember this when God gives you a vision, that vision is always, if you put vision under divine supervision, you will always have provision, and you'll never have a need for revision or division. And I've never had a vision that I could afford. I found out that if you see something that you want to do and you can afford it, it's probably a good idea, but not vision. Vision is always bigger than your budget, bigger than your bank account. But just remember, as you reset, if it's God's will, it's God's bill.
Wow. I'm speechless. You never had a vision that you could afford.
Exactly.
So if we can afford it, we're not, our vision isn't big enough.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for all of your wisdom and sharing your words of encouragement with our listeners. And so what's next for you? How can the listeners connect with you online? Or?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, yeah, connect with me. Follow my website. It's josephwalker3.org, and travel around the country, do a lot of things. You can keep up with me there. Of course, my social media platforms are josephwalker3 on Twitter, bishopjosephwalker3 on Instagram, and you can be a part of what we call the Parasquad, which is my Periscope. And we have a daily Periscope, and that's at Joseph Walker 3. So I hope people will follow me there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Career Coach Radio. Please be sure to download our app in iTunes and connect with me on social media. My Twitter handle is at LA_Matthews, that's with 2 T's, and like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/topchoiceresumes. Until next time, peace, love, and blessings, and live a fabulous life.